So this month we started a new series called Love, Relationships and Marriage. Love, Relationships and Marriage. We've done about three installments already. We started by looking at what love really is. We looked at a story and we said popular culture has a view of what love means. And if you're not quite sure of what that is, just wait till February 14th. That's when you begin to see all the shops selling all the things that normally you wouldn't buy and it's just screaming at you. Whilst all that is great, we looked a little bit deeper to say, look, love is more than, you know, just having like this feeling of goosebumps and all that, which is fine. We looked at that in detail. It's on our website if you want to listen to that. We looked at the role of Christian wives and husbands. But I don't want to dwell too much on that this morning. So this morning, we're going to carry on, you know, with that series. And I'm going to be looking at a subtopic that I've called today, Keeping Your Relationship and Marriage Sparkling. Sparkling. The way you guys are looking at me, I think I have to find another word. Can someone give me another word that is, you know, spicy? Something that on Instagram I can say, I can put it as a top title. So when this is like, yeah, this message is kicking. Vibrant. Now, why am I talking about keeping your relationship and marriage vibrant and sparkling? Now, there's this general thing that happens, not all the time, where you meet someone and you start a relationship with them, you get married, and at first you're like, oh, thinking about that person all the time, just looking at your phone to see if they've messaged you from work, and one is often full of that excitement, that the butterflies in your tummy and all those things that people feel. But the way you guys are looking at me is like, what's this pastor guy talking about? I don't feel any butterflies in my tummy. That is fine. I do all the time. In fact, there are some people that are giggling at the back, and I know why they're giggling. If I catch you, you're going to come forward and tell us why you're giggling. So I do. And I got married last year, so today's my like first year's anniversary, you know, after 1 year. Thank you. And when we started the journey, a friend of mine, after a few months, just kind of like pulled me over and he said, Pastor B, why are you so lovey-dovey? What's all this thing about? Blah, 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 blah. And he said, look, let's just give this guy, let's give him some time. Let's give him a few months. And all the lovey-dovey things, all these things that you're saying about your wife will calm down. And I looked at him, I said, it's not going to calm down. In fact, it's going to increase in gear because of what I want to talk about this morning. So there's that notion that love has to, you know, it starts like really burning hot and it ebbs, and slowly it ebbs out. So that in some instances, one gets married, they say, that fire is there, first year, second year. By the time it gets to like the fifth or so year, you see people who at the beginning were like really passionate about one another and they've become like roommates. Good morning. Hi. What are we eating today? Get the food yourself. And there's the tendency that one's relationship or one's marriage can become like that. So the question that I have for us this morning is this. Does love in marriage and relationship, does it have to ebb out? Does it have to start with a bright spark, you're excited about that person, and gradually it ebbs out? Does it have to be like that? So that's the question I have for us this morning. The other question is this. If you don't think it ought to be like that, if you think one should maintain like the same passion and the same flow that you feel for your spouse, then the question is, why does it ebb out even when people don't want it to? Why does it ebb out? I remember I was with some guys, and they were just talking about marriage. And this was a while ago. And when the topic of marriage came up, actually, I was much younger then, the thing they said was like, men, once you get married, that's it. I better, go up and down and all that, once you get married, that's it. And they made it seem like marriage was a life sentence. A life sentence is like, man, when you get married, arrivederci, or is it, what's that word? Is it arrivederci? Arrivederci. Yeah, that word. So I've always been curious to say, why does it have to be like that? It's not like that in all situations, mind you. I've seen some marriages that are great, 10, 20 years on, they're still passionate. So the question is this, why does it have to ebb out? Should it ebb out? Should that passion you feel for your spouse ebb out? If you don't think it should ebb out, then what are the things that we need to be mindful of to help us? That's what we'll be looking at this morning. All right, so we're looking at keeping your marriage relationship fresh and vibrant, or your relationships. Now, I'm going to read a story in the Bible, and that's going to be the backdrop for the points I'm going to be making. So I'm going to make three main points this morning, but before I make those points, I will read the story about this man in the Bible. So we're looking at a man called Samson in the Bible. That guy that was so strong, that used like an instrument to terminate 1,000 people. We know about that guy. Strong Samson guy. We want to look at the romantic relationship of Samson and learn something from that. So Samson was a man who was called by God. Before he was born, an angel appeared to his parents, and the angel told his parents, this is what this boy is going to be. His life is going to be this. His life is going to be that. He's going to save his people from their enemies. So this was a man that had a great future. It was a man that was called by God. It was a man whose life was already bright and shining before he was born. But we want to look at this man's relationships. We want to look at what motivated him in terms of the context of relationship, so that we can learn a number of lessons to say, look, God can be with you. God can be with you in your marriage. You can love God. God loves you anyway. You can come to church on a Sunday. You might know the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. You might be so anointed, but yet your relationship ebbs out. So there's an onus on us to understand that side of things as well. So we look at Samson. Now, I'm going to read firstly from Judges chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. So this was Samson's first recorded stab at a relationship. Judges chapter 14, I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. It says, Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now, get her for me as my wife. By the way, if you guys don't know that young guy there, that's Prophet Joel. You meet him later when we do his baby dedication. So we see something about Samson here. He goes and he sees a woman. Straight away, he goes home and he says, look, I found the person for me. He hadn't even spoken to her. He didn't even know anything about her. He just saw her. And straight away, he was like, man, this is the person I want. Verse 3, his father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable young woman amongst your relatives or amongst our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. So we see a situation here where Samson sees this woman and he just falls for her straight away. He comes back to his parents and they're expressing some concerns. They're like, calm down, bro. You only saw this girl on IG or on TikTok. You don't really know her. You've DM'd her. Hi. Is that how you guys, is that how they do it? Hi. Is it hi? Hi. Hey. H-E-Y. It's not H-I. It shows you how, what generation I'm from. Hey. H-E-Y, not H-I. So if someone says hi, know that these people can't, that person can't be a Gen Z. If they say, hey, yes, you know that you get the vibes. Hey. You just DM'd this girl. Hey, you don't even know her. Why don't you take some time? And Samson said, no, I'm not taking any time at all. That is the person that I want. That's the person I want. We're looking at I'm going to make 3 points today on keeping our relationship and our marriage, keeping the passion and the spark alive. So stay with me. So Samson says, no, I don't want to have a conversation with anyone at all. That's the person I want. Yes, you have reservations. Yes, you might be whatever, but that is the person that I want. Do you get what I mean? Now, what was the basis of Samson's choice here? I have tears in my eyes. Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. She was in like this. I was like, do I have tears in my eyes? I don't remember crying. You know what I mean? If my wife was here now, she would, anything, if my hair is out of place, she would just wink at me and say, you know, she's watching at the moment. You're watching. Is that tears in my eyes, dear? No, so let me just concentrate on what I'm saying here. So the basis for Samson's choice was just what he saw. Very physical. Now, you might say, is there anything wrong with that? Maybe not. Let's look at what now happens to Samson. Well, that relationship didn't work out for Samson, by the way. It went lopsided. Samson now goes and he sees another woman as well. And I'll read Judges chapter 16, verse 4. Judges chapter 16, verse 4. It now goes, some time later, this is Mr. Samson, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. So Samson is going on this journey of life, and he sees someone else. And the Bible says he falls in love with her. Her name was Delilah. Now, we've heard the story about Delilah and all that. I don't want to focus on the story too much in the context of what happened to Samson. I want to just look at Samson's relational attitude. I want to look at Samson's, how he thought from a relational perspective, and make one or two points from there. So Samson sees this other woman, Delilah, and he falls for her. Head over heels. He's DM'd her, she has DM'd him back. They've spoken. You know, they've done all those things that all the Gen Z people do. And he fell in love with her. Now, I'm just going to read the full story of Samson's relationship with Delilah. And that's in Judges chapter 16, verses 4 to 21. Judges chapter 16, verses 4 to 21. It's a long read, but I'm just going to read it, then I'll make some points from the story here. Judges chapter 16, verses 4 to 21. It says, some time later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, see if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so that we may tie him and subdue him. Each one of us we will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. We can ignore that part. So basically, this folks came to Delilah and said, look, we need to get the Samson guy. Can you find out the source of his power? Well, we don't want to focus on that. We're looking at Samson's relational ethics here, or his relational preference. So life goes on with Delilah. Delilah comes to Samson and says in verse 6, she said to him, tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. Samson answered her, if anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become weak and like any other man. Now, so the relationship carries on. She's trying to get Samson's, she's trying to just rat Samson out. She's trying to just sell him out. The relationship carries on and all that. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we can just note that Judges chapter 16, verses 4 to 21. So this is how the story goes. Samson falls in love with this woman, and they carry on. It doesn't end too well for Samson at some point in time. But that's not what I want to look at. We want to look at some of the things that Samson was doing in this relationship that informs one of the points that I want to make this morning. So in Judges chapter 16, verse 4, we see that the Bible says Samson fell in love with this woman. They're having conversations. And it gets to the point in Judges chapter 16, verse 19. Judges chapter 16, verse 19. Samson does something here that just gives us an idea of his relationship with Delilah. And Judges chapter 16, verse 19, it says, after putting Samson to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of hair so that she began to subdue him. So the second thing we see about Samson in this relationship is this, that he loved this woman so much. This was a man that, fought like 1,000 men and, terminated all of them. He loved her so much, he trusted her so much that the Bible says that he put his head on her lap and he slept off. Their relationship was such that he trusted her. And I believe at some point, maybe she trusted him as well. So we see something in their relationship. That relationship was it wasn't really ebbing. It was still very passionate. When Samson came back and was like, sweetheart, I'm tired and all that, she just goes, oh, Samson, why don't you come over here and just put your head on my lap and all that. So Samson was like really ebbing. He was like, man, passionate about all these things. Their relationship was like that. But we now see in the end, and I'll make a point, that there were certain things that were driving Samson in this relationship, but those things were not enough to sustain that relationship. So it comes to the point I want to make this morning. The first point I want to make is this. Often, when we are making choices from a relationship perspective, or even when we become married, our choices are usually focused on 2 main areas, like we see in the life of Samson. And these areas are fine to be, they're fine. There's nothing wrong with these 2 areas. And I want to read something to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. I'll read that portion of scripture. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray our God, your whole spirit, note that, soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first point I want to make is this. from a relational perspective, often we will focus on the body. Samson saw this girl and was like, wow, look at this girl. This is the girl I want. And there's nothing wrong with that. Focusing on the body side of things. The soulish part is where, which is the part that is more emotional. So your soul is made up of your emotions, your will, and I've forgotten the other one. But I'm looking at the soul from an emotional perspective here. So in that relationship, they were emotionally connected. If not, I don't think Samson would have put his head on her lap. I don't think she would have been telling Samson, if you love me, you tell me these things. So they spoke quite a bit. They communicated. So what I see is that in the first point, our relationships are focused usually on two main parts. Sometimes men focus on the physical part. I believe that for women, it's more emotional, where they connect with the guy or you connect with your husband and you guys are talking, and that is how you guys are connected. I remember talking about this soul and body thing. So Samson saw her and he was attracted to her. I believe that for Delilah, she probably liked Samson quite a bit as well. She was connected with him, I believe, emotionally from what she was saying. They talked. And, you know, one thing that I realized, kind of like earlier on about relationships and about women versus men, is that men and women see things very, very differently. Very, very differently. So for a guy, it's like, I know this guy that was like, this was a while ago, and he was like, look, I do everything for my wife. I get this, I get that, I buy this, I buy that, and all that. And one day his wife now sat him down. And she said something that he really didn't understand till that point. And she says, I'm going to use like a pseudonym, like Johnny. Or should I use Sam? Any name is fine. Okay. So she sits her husband down and she says, Johnny, I appreciate everything that you do for this family. You work hard. You do things for us. You sacrifice for us. You buy this, you buy that, you're always working, and I appreciate that. She now tells Johnny that there's one thing, however, that I would really love that would make this relationship and this marriage work better. And Johnny was like, okay, tell me what you want. I will fly over 7 mountains. I will climb 7 hills if you're a hiker. I will do this and do that. And he was expecting that, man, she was going to tell him something he felt was groundbreaking that he wasn't doing already. So tell me and I'll do it. And she said, Johnny, I just want you to sit down and talk with me. And Johnny said, is that all? And he was a bit disappointed, like, all you want is for me to just sit down and talk with you? She said, yes. And from that day, Johnny would spend hours and hours and hours and hours talking to his wife. And that was what she wanted. The soulish and emotional part of the relationship. So that part is good as well. So for Samson, he focused on the physical part of relationships, which is fine. Maybe Delilah focused on the soulish, emotional part, which is fine as well. But one thing we need to realize is this, which is the second point that I want to make. That we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. We read there that Paul was praying this prayer for the Thessalonians. He says, may the Lord sanctify you, spirit, soul, and body. That means that for everyone that is sitting here, for every human being, you are made up of 3 parts. Your body, which you see. your soul, which houses your emotions and your will and your spirit. Now, the thing is this, from a relational and from a marriage perspective, it's great that the body part is there, you're attracted to your spouse. It's great that you guys have meaningful conversations, you talk, you get along, you gist, and all those things. However, that's not enough in most cases to keep the fire burning. It's not. So the first point I made is this. In the case of Samson, he focused on the body, his wife, or Delilah, his mate at that time, focused on the soul. So that's the default for men and women. Women want the emotional part of things mostly. Men are more physical, or they can mix up the two. But often to keep our relationships and our marriage burning and burning and burning, often focusing on those two parts is not enough. That's the second point. So the question is this, which is the third point I'm going to make, then we'll call it a day. How can I, as a man or woman in a relationship, ensure that the passion that I have for my spouse from the beginning, the passion that my wife has for me, doesn't ebb out as time goes on, where we become like roommates? How can we keep the passion alive? How can we do it in such a way that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, we are still passionate about each other? We still look forward to seeing each other at the end of the day. How can we do that? I believe that there's a dimension, which is the last part that I'm going to talk about here. There is a dimension that as a couple, you can add to your relationship that would carry the emotional and the physical part. So not disregarding those, but something that will carry that part so that when the physical side of things and the emotional side of things, when they are ebbing and when they're going like that, there's something that can still maintain that passion and that fire in your heart and in your soul for your spouse. And that is the spiritual part. That is the spiritual part. So 1 Thessalonians that we read, 5:23, it says, may the Lord sanctify you wholly, and he mentioned three parts of you, spirit, soul, and body. Oftentimes, we focus on the body, which is great sometimes. We focus on the soul, on the emotions. How can I be there emotionally for my wife, or my wife being emotionally there for me? That is great. But we neglect, or we're not conscious of the spiritual part, which is the third part of us. And interestingly, I'm finding that it is that spiritual part that we often neglect. And it is that part that can keep the ebb and the fire of the passion of the body and the soul going. So that if the body ebbs a bit, or the soul ebbs a bit, that spiritual side would still keep that passion burning in the hearts of the spouses. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that as a couple? I'm going to read one portion of scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 26. It says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We looked at that last week. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Cleansing her by the washing of water through the word. So the point here is this. If you and your wife, or you and your spouse, or the person that you're in relationship with, you have the physical part, which is great. You have the emotional part. If you can underpin this with the spiritual part, then it will keep the fire burning and burning. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 26 that I've read here, he says something there. He says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, paraphrasing, which is great. But there's something that portion of scripture says. It says, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. So, the third point I'm making this morning is this. If you and your wife commit to having, to studying the word of God together, to doing devotions together regularly, opening the Bible or getting a devotional aid and saying, okay, let us read this portion of the Bible together. Let us understand it together. What's the Bible saying in this? What does it mean when the Bible says love your wife? Or you pick somewhere from the Bible and both of you at the same time are going through the Word of God together. Learning from the Word of God together. Together. Then the Bible begins to say something in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 12. It says, if one prevails against him, two shall withstand him. But this is the part that I'm talking, I want to focus on. It says, a three-strand cord is not quickly broken. A three-strand cord is not quickly broken. So what that means is this. When you and your spouse are reading the Word of God together and doing devotional together, you guys are doing it in the Spirit and you're doing it with God. Let me repeat that. We can study the Bible by ourselves. We can read the Bible individually, and that's great. We should do that. But there is just something that happens when you and your spouse together read the Bible and do devotionals from the Bible together. Something begins to happen to you. As you're having that conversation in the Bible study you're doing with your wife or with a devotional, God is the third person in that meeting. And as you have that meeting with yourselves and with God, something begins to happen to your spirit. Remember, I read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, where Paul was saying, may the God of peace sanctify you, spirit, soul, and body. So there are three parts of you. We've looked at the body part. That's fine. That's, you can see your body. We've looked at the soul part. But with the spirit part, God can come in and be engaged in the life of you and your spouse. And something begins to happen in your spirit. And that thing that happens, that begins to happen in your spirit that might not be apparent, is what will now keep the fire burning and burning in your relationship. So that when the body part of that individual falters, or if the soulish part of that individual falters, the spirit never falters at all. And it is the spirit part that holds the relationship together and it keeps that fire burning and burning and burning. So that 5 years down the line, you're still excited about your wife. 10 years down the line, you're still excited about your husband. 20 years down the line, you're still excited. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why? Because as we age, even if you do, what's that thing they do? As we age, it's going to get to a time, if you're like 100, the six-pack that your husband had when he was, I don't know, at 100, it might not be there again. Do you understand? The figure that your wife had when she was whatever age, when she's 100, it won't be there. Do you understand? So what's going to keep your relationship at that point? If you focus solely on the body, then what happens then? If you focus solely on the soul, what happens then? But if you can focus on the spirit as well, then the spirit kicks in. So that you can look at your wife when she's 100 and you're 102, and you can look at her and say, darling, I love you the same way I loved you 80 years ago, darling. And your wife, who is 100, because you guys have connected in the spirit, she will look at you and say, even though you're a bit cranky,
Even though you're not looking the way you are looking, even though you can't go to the gym and do 100 weights, I still love you, darling.
And you're still passionate about each other. Why? Because you've connected in the spirit. God has connected you so much in the spirit so that you don't end up living like roommates. Why? Because the fire has gone down. So I'm going to stop there today. So we've looked at a number of things this morning. And the topic we looked at is, how can we keep our relationships burning and passionate? So that it doesn't start with a big fire. We're excited about our spouse. Then as the years go by, it just ebbs out. How can we do that? So that it doesn't ebb out. And we made 3 points this morning. The first point I made is that often we focus on the body and on the soul. But we're three. There's the spirit. And we leave the spirit out. And the main point I made is this. If we can connect the spirit by studying the Bible and the Word of God together with our spouse, it does something that will really help the fire to last and last and last and last. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning we're just going to pray. There was a Bible verse. I don't know, maybe you guys can ask my wife. I read this Bible verse to my wife from Songs of Solomon, I think 5. I'm not going to open it now. And in that portion of scripture, I was reading it to her, and I don't know why she was smiling. I was reading the Bible to her. And you know what that portion of scripture said? In that Songs of Solomon that I read to her, it said, this is how I read it to her. You know, slightly dramatic. In fact, if not that I had the Bible in front of me, maybe she would have thought I was reading from somewhere else. And that portion of scripture, I said something. And I said to her, let me read this Bible verse to you, sweetheart. And it said there, amen, amen, that's headmistress. It said in that portion of scripture that I read to her, it says, sweetheart, Your eyes are like dove's eyes. It says that by your eyes, kings are held captive. Don't interrupt me. This is a serious moment I'm talking about here. It said, No, not his. Not his. I'll give you that one later. Ha! This is the guy. It says, in that portion of scripture, it said, sweetheart, your eyes are like dove's eyes. And I told my wife then, I said, sweetheart, you know, there are times that maybe I'm really upset and you look at me with those eyes of yours and it just makes me weak at the knees. And I have a Bible verse to back it up. So I brought out that Bible verse and I said, look, your eyes are like dove's eyes. No, I was reading the Bible. You guys are not, you're distracting me. I said, look, by your eyes, kings are held captive. That means if I'm annoyed and I'm like, why did you do this? And you just look at me with those eyes, it just weakens me. I just become like, okay, what do you want? What do you want? You see, you can tell the Gen Z people from their response. The Gen Z people, this is how they respond. Aww. The non-Gen Z people, this is how they respond. Really? So if the person next to you said, really, just know that they're not Gen Z. Jokes apart, what am I saying here? I'm saying that God wants our relationships to be passionate from the beginning to the end. So this morning, we're just going to pray. And the prayer that I just want us to pray is this. It's a simple prayer. Is God, help my relationship, please, to be passionate. I don't want my relationship to be one where it's like I'm living with my roommate, a roommate. Just, hi, hello. Where my relationship maybe has ebbed a bit, bring the passion back to it. help us. That's the prayer I'd love for us to pray this morning. That God will help our relationships so that we can be excited about our spouse, so that our relationship doesn't ebb out. I'm going to ask that we just rise this morning as we pray.